This is the Reason Podcast, and I'm your host, Nick Gillespie. Thanks for listening. Today, we are talking with Jose Ignacio Guedes, who is a member of an opposition party based in Venezuela, as the situation there gets more and more dire, and it seems like a regime change out of the regime of Maduro might actually be happening. We're going to catch up with Jose and find out what's going on and what he thinks should be going on vis-a-vis American intervention or participation in regime change. Jose, thanks for talking to Reason.
Thank you.
When is the just to set the scene a little bit? Explain, your party, the party that you're part of, and what your goals are in all of this.
The goal is just one: is like rebuild democracy in Venezuela after having a dictator over there. So right now we're looking for take the dictator out of the power and then call for election, but a free election. After he left the power. So right now we have a legitimate president, Juan Guaido, who is also the president of the Congress over there, of the National Assembly. And the Constitution have him, the power to be the president in this transition, in this period. His goal is take the dictator out of the power in order to call for election in Venezuela, and then we are going, all Venezuela, we are going to be able to choose another president.
So the name of your party is La Causa R. Just tell me a little bit about where, when did that start, and what is your, I obviously in the current situation, what you are focusing on is removing Maduro from power, or actually saying under the Constitution, he's already out of power and Guaido is there. And now it's a question of how do you effect a transition so that you can have a legitimate election. But what is La Causa R, and what are your roots and what do you stand for?
Our party have 40 years old. Right now is the first party with more representing in the Congress. It's the first biggest party right now. We are like a democratic party. When I say democratic, I say like the democracy. The democracy is our ideology. We are no left or right party. We are in the center of the democracy, and we think that what we need to do in Venezuela is have a good government with freedom of speech, with freedom of economic liberties, and rebuild Venezuela with the rule of law again. And we have no, dogma or ideology other than the liberty. We're looking for liberty in our country, in our economics, social, all the fields.
When is the last time you were actually in Venezuela? And can you give us an update of, what's actually going on there? In the United States in particular, and I know in other parts of the world, for years now, actually, which is kind of terrifying to think about, we've been hearing these horror stories of where people are eating zoo animals because they're out of food. I was just reading a report today that something over the past few years, 20% or 60% of Venezuelans say that they have lost weight because of the chaos and the anarchy in the country. Something like 3 million people have left the country since 2014. Can you paint a picture of what's going on right now?
I was the principal secretary from the Congress at 2017. Then I went to Madrid. I'm living in Madrid right now, one year ago. And came here to Washington for a few days in order to meet the new embassy from Juan Guaido, who is here, which his name is Carlos Becchio. So I'm meeting with another Venezuelan politician here, and you know, having meeting with people who can able to help us in this transition in Venezuela. In Venezuela, the situation is very difficult, not only in the liberty field, but also in social situation. The income, the average income for a worker in Venezuela is $1 per month. So the people cannot live with the payroll. So so they have to, you know, do something in order to try to survive. People die because there are no medicine. But I'm talking about years ago. It's not like they are going to start to saying that the oil sanction is guilty. Is the reason or the case. No, U.S. Have been buying oil in Venezuela all these years, and since Maduro take the power, there are no medicines, the energy fail, the roads are very destructed. So we have a crisis, the typical crisis of socialism, because in Venezuela it's happened what happened in every country which have taken the socialist route.
So Maduro was first elected in 2013, or shortly after Hugo Chavez died, and he was his protege. He was reelected last year, and then in January of this year, an ad hoc group of governments, most of them Latin American countries, and then plus Canada, called the Lima Group, said that they refused to recognize Maduro's second term. How important was that for people in Venezuela to have that, you know, to know that there were a dozen countries in North America or in South America and North America that were saying, you know, this guy is not a legitimate president?
That's the key right now. The last year election, Maduro arranged election in a time that it doesn't match to the constitutional. So the election had to be done last December, but he did it in March, but with any guarantee. So he did something that there were any opposition serious opposition who participate, and anybody in America or Europe recognize this that election. So his period ends January 10th, and after that he's not president anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's the key to understand what is happening right now in Venezuela. Even though he already became a dictator 2 years ago, because what he did, right now he's not a president anymore because his period end and the election wasn't recognized for anyone inside or outside Venezuela. I'm talking Europe and America. There are some exceptions because Russia,
China, Iran, Cuba,
Bolivia. Yeah. Bolivia, Nicaragua, but the free world doesn't recognize that election, and that's why he become we call usurpador. I don't know what the translation is, but he's not a president anymore. So
right. he's a usurper of power.
Okay, yeah.
I think we would use basically the same term. Now, you've written that countries such as China, Russia, and Cuba have practiced imperialism against Venezuela or in Venezuela. What do you mean by that? Because, and we'll get to this in a second. In many conversations that we, you know, that are when Latin America comes up in the United States, it's typically the United States that's being accused of being an imperial power. But you're saying China, Russia, and Cuba and to some degree Iran are the imperial powers. What do you mean by that?
That's a double standard because some people think that there is a bad imperialist, but they are a good imperialist. So the real imperialist is the Russians, Cuba, and China in Latin America or in Venezuela. Because what United States wants is the liberty of Venezuela, democracy for Venezuela. But Russia, China, Cuba doesn't care about civil rights. They only want economics benefit, and no matter how the population happen with them. So I guess the bad imperialist right now in Latin America is the Russian one. So mm-hmm. because it's against civil rights, it's against democracy or any kind of freedoms. So
right. And China recently loaned the Venezuelan government or Maduro's government money and things like that. Well, can I ask you, though, from again, and I realize, you know, part of this is particularly in an American context, but you would agree that the United States has not always been a particularly positive force in Latin America. And that's putting it mildly, but
in the past, you mean in the past?
Yeah. Yes.
No,
of course.
Of course. No. Yeah. No.
So it's, I guess one of the reasons I'm asking then, in America, politicians such as Bernie Sanders right now, claim that the United States is actively meddling in Venezuelan politics. Donald Trump recognized Guaido before the Lima Group did, but he refused to call back diplomats when Maduro was trying to kick them out. As you mentioned earlier in passing, he toughened sanctions or he enacted sanctions against the national oil company in Venezuela, froze assets. And then more recently, his national security advisor, John Bolton, in November, was talking about what he called the Troika of Tyranny in Central America or in Latin America, by which he meant the governments in Havana, Managua, and Caracas. It's understandable why people would be a little bit worried that the U.S. is going to go back to an old model of meddling in countries, right, in Latin America.
Yeah, we are afraid to become Cuba, for instance, because mm-hmm. in Cuba the world doesn't care about Cuba anymore. So this a population who have forgotten, and Venezuela people in Venezuela wants to the world to cooperate in order to reestablish democracy. So what is doing the U.S. government right now is very helpful, and we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. So you stand for liberty or not? So and Venezuela deserve the same democracy American people have, the same democracy European people have. We deserve that. Mm-hmm. We have it before. And we want it back. So if a country like United States are willing to help us in order to, this goal make happen, so we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. So talk a bit about that, because I think that's, how do you assuage, in the Wall Street Journal today, the American newspaper, there was a long story that was talking about how using sources from within the Trump administration, that the Trump administration has a very kind of muscular foreign policy towards Latin America, particularly, again, Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua. What from your point of view, what would be the best way for the United States to help bring about, peaceful transition to democracy without stirring up a lot of bad problems?
The sanctions have been a good policy. It's very effective. So the sanctions are very good. The tyrants, we want a continent free of tyrants, a continent with democracy all over the place. So the sanctions our decision, a peaceful decision. I mean, it's not a military option, and have been very effectively. I think what happened in Nicaragua is the same is happening in Venezuela. We want freedom for Venezuela and for Nicaragua as well, and for Cuba as well. We don't want to Bolivia to become a Venezuela if Evo Morales keep you know going this way, this road. So I think we need to rebuild the concept of democracy in order to, you know, in the continent. So I guess the sanction is something that U.S. government needs to keep doing.
How do you feel about, you know, this happens sometimes in these situations where, say, a group like the Lima Group or, you know, that they actually, a consortium of countries or a coalition of countries actually try to help, you know, they give the dictator who is on the way out a free pass where they take him away or talk about what is the transition situation that is in the National Assembly right now, because in Guaido's, you know, in the new, under the new constitution or the rule change that allows for the calling for a new election, what are the terms by which Maduro and his government must step down from power?
Right now, Maduro have a gold opportunity to live peaceful. So Trump administration have said it. The Congress in Venezuela, the National Assembly, approved, you know, like an amnesty law, like a forgiving law. So right now they have a golden opportunity. It's up to Maduro to decide how he wants to end this history. But what we want is democracy. We want free elections. We want civil rights. We want rule of law. We want liberty.
And your
liberty.
Plan allows for amnesty of certain government officials and military officials if they relinquish power.
Yeah. Even Maduro have the opportunity to flee a country. So I guess I'm aware about a mistake and some disaster have happened before in the continent, and a mistake of United States decisions in Latin America. I'm aware of that. But right now, I think the things are going. We are doing a good job inside and outside Venezuela. It's not only America. You name Grupo de Lima, which is basically Latin American. So it's the region issue right now. Venezuela, Colombia, Brazil, Argentina, Chile. You know, Latin American stand for democracy in Venezuela. So the only problem right now is Maduro. So Maduro have right now the opportunity to get apart, get us aside, and in Venezuela we're going to make election in freedom and rebuild democracy. So it's not violence. Way.
How long do you think, or how long will you know, or will the world know, whether or not Maduro is going to leave peacefully or not?
I guess the time is running out. In the next weeks or days, humanitarian aid or help is going to start to arrive to Venezuela. And we are going to see what is Maduro is gonna do about that. So if he, allow to this help go inside Venezuela, or he's going to block it. So I guess the could be, you know, the deadline for him.
Okay. Well, we will leave it there. I want to thank you so much for talking to us. We have been talking with Jose Ignacio Gadez from Venezuela, talking about the situation there and the ways in which regime change can happen peacefully and democracy can be restored without more violence. Thank you so much, Jose.
Thank you.
For Reason, this is Nick Gillespie. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to us at iTunes, at Apple, at Google, at Spotify, everywhere you listen.